All right, we're going to continue our series this morning called The 10 Qualities That Move You From Being a Believer to Being a Disciple. Growing in our relationship with Christ. Now we have already talked about eight different things. And the goal is to just start moving from being a believer, giving your heart to Christ and saying, I'm not going to hell now, I'm going to heaven, to walking with Christ as the center of your life, going from believer to disciple. We've talked about all kinds of things. The one we're going to look at today is the ninth one out of the ten, and it's one word. A disciple is generous. A disciple has a generous heart. Now, I've heard a million stories about giving in church and all that kind of stuff. I just want to share a couple of fun ones with you. I want to share a Bubba joke with you to begin with. The country preacher showed up at Bubba's farm one day. He wanted to kind of test Bubba's generosity. So he said, Bubba, if you had 100 pigs, would you give 20 of them to the Lord? And Bubba said, Preacher, you know I would. He said, Well, Bubba, if you had 50 pigs, would you give 10 of them to the Lord? And he said, Preacher, you know I would give the Lord 10 pigs. And he said, Bubba, if you had 20 pigs, would you give him 5? And he said, Yes, sir, I sure would. Finally, the preacher looked at him and said, Bubba, if you had 2 pigs, would you give the Lord 1? He said, Now stop that, preacher. You know I only got 2 pigs. It's fun when it's theoretical, isn't it? We say things like, if I won the lottery, I would just give the church a bunch of money. Because we don't have a bunch of money, right? It's so easy. I heard another one about a family that was leaving church one morning and they were in the car and the dad piped up as they're driving out of the parking lot and he said, Whew, that was some pitiful preaching today. The mom said, You got that right. And that music was out of tune too. And the daughter said, And it was so cold in that building. But the little boy had seen what his dad put in the offering plate when it came by and he said, But dad, you got to admit, it's a pretty good show for a dollar. So, all right. It's so easy to forget why we give. It's not for the show, okay? We don't try to put on a show for you around here anyway. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit, all right? That's it. We don't give because of things we can see. We give for one reason, and that's because Scripture teaches us to. And when I start growing in my relationship with God, special things start happening. One of those is I become more generous. And as I become more generous, God blesses that. And that's sort of what we're going to unpack this morning. So we're just going to jump in, and I want to share a few things with you real quick this morning. Here's number one. My attitude toward money reveals the position of my heart. My attitude toward money, if I'm just trying to hang on to it, right? Matthew 6:19 says, Don't store up treasures here on earth. Where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. And wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, it doesn't tell us not to have money. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us to save money. The Bible even says a good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. He didn't say a giant inheritance, but he said he's going to leave them something. He's going to try, right? He's not just going to consume everything he gets. He's going to be the kind of person that puts something back for someone else, right? He's going to take care of his business. We've said it a million times around here. There's two things that God blesses in our finances. He blesses good stewardship. If God blesses me with some money and I go out and waste it, I cannot blame him if I don't have rent money next month, all right? The other thing is God blesses us when we tithe, which we're going to talk about that in a minute. Don't store up treasures here on earth. The most valuable things in my life, I need to make sure they're stored in the right place. The most valuable things to me, what are they? Are they temporary things or are they eternal things? That's what he's getting at. He said, I want you to have eternal treasure, not just temporary treasure. No matter how much money you have, when you die, you're still dead. They don't spend dollars in heaven. It's like Simon Peter. I know I wasn't that good down there on earth, but I got a pile of money here. If you'll just let me in, that's not the way this works. It just doesn't work that way. What is your treasure? That's the question this morning. What is my treasure? What do I value most? I love the story of the rich guy. He was sitting on the side of the road in his BMW, and he wasn't paying attention, and he opened the door, and a speeding car came by and ripped the door right off. And he's so angry, the police officer drives up, and I can't believe that guy ripped the door right off my brand new Beamer. And the police officer stepped back and said, "You rich people make me sick." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because it tore your arm off too." And the rich guy said, "My Rolex." It's about value. What do I value? That's a silly one, but what do I value in my personal life? What's important to me? Do I value the things God values? It doesn't say you can't have money. It never says that in that scripture. Never says that. But it does say, look, make sure you treasure the right stuff. Because whatever you treasure, in verse 21, whatever you treasure, that's where the desires of your heart are going to draw you. If I just treasure cash, that's where my life is going to gravitate. If I treasure the things of God, my life will gravitate toward that. What's valuable to me? And there are times in my life, in your life, when we have to make a course correction. When we start valuing something and it's leading us in the wrong direction, we go, whoa, 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 whoa. I gotta make sure I'm on the right path here. I gotta go in the right direction. So what is it that I value? That's the first thing. Here's the second one. Giving is an act of obedience. Giving is when I say, God, I want to just be obedient to you. Malachi, this is Old Testament. I've heard people say, well, the New Testament doesn't teach us to tithe, and I don't know where that comes from. Jesus actually said, you should tithe, all right? So, Malachi 3:8 says, should people cheat God? Now, we stop there and we go, who would cheat God? I can't believe anybody would cheat God. Yet, you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When do we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. He's talking to the people of Israel now, and so if we move that forward to you and me today, and we say, and now don't get upset with me, okay? Just, if you're going to get upset, get angry with God. He said this stuff, all right? He said, look, you are cheating me because you're not giving me the portion that I told you to give me. What is that portion? Honor the Lord, Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. The first thing they were to do when they made money in Bible times was, or a crop, was to give the first part of that. All right? The first thing they earned to God. Lord, this is yours. Now, when they did that, God followed up with some new other things, and we're going to read that next. But when we say, God, I don't value earthly things first. I value heavenly things first. I want you to bless my life. I want to be a disciple. I want to serve you, walk with you. I want you to be in every part of my life. When we say, Lord, I don't want to live under this curse. I want to give to you what is yours. I don't want to steal from you. It's so easy. I've done this little analogy before, and a little object lesson, actually. Where I would give somebody a $100 bill in service before service started. And then I would tell them, don't say anything, and I'll tell you in the middle of the message when to bring the $100 bill up to me. And I would start the story something like this. Boy, I wish I had money to go out and eat today. And it's been a rough week, but I'd sure love to go get a steak for lunch. And then whoever I handed the $100 bill to, they come and they hand it to me. And everybody goes, oh, how generous. Oh, that guy's such a sweet guy. He just gave him $100. And I said, why did you give me this $100 bill? And he said, because it was yours. I'm just giving it back to you. That's exactly how this works with God. The first fruits, the 10%, belongs to God in the beginning. It was never mine. He was just asking me to handle it for a minute. Just take care of this for a minute, and then you can give it back to me. Two things happen when we truly honor the Lord in our tithing, giving our first fruits. First of all, you got to have some faith. You got to trust that God's going to take care of you. It's hard in the beginning when you start tithing. You're like, oh, I don't know. 90%. I don't think I can live on 90%. I'm already needing 112% to make it as it is. It's because we're living under a curse. But when I obey God in tithing and I give him the first fruits, he blesses me, and we'll read it in a second. He blesses me. So I give to God out of obedience. When I say I'm not giving God what already belongs to him, it's like robbing a police station. I'm going to get caught. I can't get away with this. That's not because God hates me. He's trying to bless me. You ever tell your kids, don't do that because it's going to hurt you? And they're like, but it's just fun. And you say, well, in that case, go ahead. No, you say, I'm not paying for a doctor bill today. We're not breaking a leg today. Stop doing that stuff. God says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I don't want you to be breaking legs today. I want to bless you. So honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Everything that comes into your house. Let it be a blessing to God. Now here's number three. When we give, God blesses giving. As a disciple of Christ, God blesses me when I give. Old preacher once said, you can never outgive God. He's going to make sure he blesses you and me more than we bless him. Malachi 3, 8, and 9, or actually that's the wrong scripture reference. It's 3, 10 through 12. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. He's saying, take care, church. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's army. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's army. God says, look, if you will honor me with the first fruits, with the tithe, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour out so much blessing you can't contain it. It's just going to overwhelm you. Your crops are going to be abundant. I'm going to keep the insects and the disease off. I'm going to keep the grapes from falling off the vine. And other people are going to look at you and go, they're blessed. Now look, all God said to me was, give me back. God is saying this to you and me. Give me back what you're holding for me. Give me back the portion that is mine. And then I'm going to bless you so much that you're not going to be able to contain it. Now listen. That's a pretty good deal. All I got to do is give you back your money, and I'm going to get more? No, we don't give to get. Don't ever think, I'm going to give $100 in this week. Woo-hoo! I'm going to be in the chips this week. It's going to be good. That is not the way this works, all right? You see what he said? I'm going to open up the windows. I'm going to make your crops abundant. There's some times going to go by. God is developing our faith, teaching us to trust. If God went, put in a dollar and I'll give you 10, we'd be up here all day. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Bring it on, Lord. That's not the way it works. God says, give me what I gave you, the part that you're holding for me, and then I'm going to bless you, but it's going to take some time. Some crops are going to have to come in. And when you don't even see it, I'm going to protect your crops from the insects. I'm going to protect your job from the COVID. I'm going to bless you when other people are going, how are you making it? And I'm just one of that nation that's just blessed. I'm just on the right team. When I walk in obedience to God, he will always bless that every single time. If you've ever seen one of these, you've never used one, all right? We're not living in 1922, but it's a water pump. Now, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I've never used one of these either, all right? I am not an expert, but I do know how to read, all right? So I was reading about this thing. It's a water pump. It's got a pipe that goes down into a well. There is always a jar of water beside the pump. When you walk up to the pump, there is a full jar or bucket of water right there. Now listen, if you go up there and you say, "Ooh, I'm just thirsty. I'm just going to drink this jar of water." You will never get another drop out of that pump. Because you have to use the water in the bucket to pour into the pump, to prime the pump, so that when you push the lever up and down, more water comes out. I believe this is a word from God for somebody this morning. Some of us have been drinking the water out of the bucket and wondering why the pump is dry. We're wondering why we can't make it financially. And why are we always running behind? And why are things always so hard? And God is saying, prime the pump. Stop drinking the bucket and start filling the pump. And as you do the work, you can refill the bucket a million times. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. We read 9 a minute ago. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part or the first fruits of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. He's saying, when you put in the work, I'm just going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. 2 Corinthians 9 says this. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now listen, I don't give to get. You can't give to get. That's not the way it works. You might as well go to Vegas. It's not the way it works. I give out of obedience, and when I give out of obedience, then I keep doing. I try to be faithful. Lord, I'm gonna be a good steward. I'm going to continue giving. I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to continue giving. Stewardship and giving and stewardship and giving. And God blesses that crop. Your crop may be your business. Your crop may be your job. Your crop may be a check that came in. You didn't even know it was coming. I got a check in the mail yesterday. I was like, wow, look at this. Look at this. It was a reimbursement for something I overpaid. When do you overpay something? What in the world? Like, I'll take it, Lord. Listen. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. If we just obey God, he will bless us. But don't worry about the blessing. The blessing will come. Worry about the obedience. Giving requires faith. And here's the fourth one. Giving is about believing in God's plan. Do I believe in what God is doing right here in my church? Do I believe in what God is doing? Do I believe, Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He said, if you'll put his kingdom first, if I put his kingdom first, he'll make sure I have everything that I need. Everything that I need. Now, we don't just believe this as individuals. At Grace Point, we put this into practice as a church body. So I want to give you a couple of numbers from last year. Last year, we gave $69,000 to missions. Amen. $69,000. We gave $32,000 to take care of people right here in South Irvine. So we gave over $100,000. Yeah, amen. 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 We were able, because you were faithful in your giving, as a church, we believe in this principle. I just believe that I can't say to you or to me, hey, you ought to give, if we're not going to do that as a church. So our church has been doing this for years. Giving money. Now, we don't say it every time. But I want you to know this morning, over $100,000 went away to serve, to meet needs, just to give it away. Because you were faithful and you gave, the church was able to give, and I believe God is blessing more and more and more. I've seen it so many times. I've told you these stories. When God would bless us as a church through our giving, I'm going to tell this one story, and it'll be the only one. I could tell them all day, all right? I'm not going to do that to you. You've heard me tell this story before. years ago, somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 years ago, we were trying to build this building, but we still had debt on the previous building. And I was in a meeting in another town, another city, and one of my good friends was starting a drug rehab center for young men. Well, men in general. Mainly it would minister to young men eventually. But he was starting a drug rehab center for men. He had been given an old nursing home. And then he was going to turn it into a drug rehab center, but he had to raise every penny to make it work. So he started raising money. He believed that God had called him to do this. When he was a young man, and he's retired now, when he was a young man, he said, "I remember waking up on a bench after an all-night drunk across the street from this thing. And now I'm going to get to be the one that puts in the drug rehab right there for people who need it." So he said, he just told me the vision. And I said to him, "Our church wants to commit $10,000. Now, I didn't ask you about that, all right? But we did it. It was already approved. And I said, we were giving that money away. And I said, "Look, we want to give $10,000. I thought he was going to cry. It's a grown man. And he said, "You're not going to believe this, but yesterday I told God that if I didn't get $10,000 this week, I was going to have to let it go. And because of that," every time I see him today, he still tells me today, "Because of that $10,000, we were able to open the Dream Center." Because of that, now listen to this. So I was in another town when I saw him. We committed that money. We hadn't even written the check yet. We committed to give that money. Whew. The next day, somebody stopped by my house. I lived right down the street. They stopped by my house, and I knew them. And they said, "Hey, things are going pretty good at work, and we want to bless the church." And I promise you, with my hand before God, they handed me a $300,000 check. Woo! Now, I had never seen a $300,000 check, all right? Ever, all right? And we were able to get started and moving in the right direction. Eventually, I could tell you about more gifts and more blessings. And when we were building when we were getting ready to start this building, someone walks up and said, "God told me to do this 2 weeks ago," and they handed me a $500,000 check. That was the biggest check I'd ever seen at that time, for sure. Not long after that, somebody walked up here and said, "Here is a $1.1 million check." I was like, "Let me sit down just a minute." That is not normal stuff, especially in South Irving. You might go to some zip code in some other town and you might go, "That's just normal." That ain't normal around here. Now, we don't give to get. We give to be obedient, but God will always bless His children. Always bless His children. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and He'll give you everything you need. If I will walk with Him and serve Him and honor Him, He will bless me. But a disciple says, "God, that blessing thing, that's up to you. Whenever the crop comes in, whenever you choose it, I'm here, but I'm not waiting on it. I'm just going to start right now serving you and honoring you and being generous." How many times does the Bible tell us to love people who are unlovable? To give to people who have wasted money, who have wasted their life, and God says, give to them. Give, give, give. A disciple has a generous heart. Now watch this. Some people in this room just have the gift of giving. I know people that just keep a $50 bill in their front pocket, and they're just like, "I'm just looking for somebody." They're walking through Walmart, and they're just like, "Here you go, buddy." You're like, "Man, does this feel like a drug deal, or what's going on? I don't even know." They got that 50 right here, just all everywhere they go. I just believe God told me to give this to you. Here you go. That's the gift of giving. That just comes natural. There are others in the room that you're going, "It's hard for me to even give a Coke away. It just doesn't come natural." man, that's where faith really shows up. When it's not natural. But I'll tell you this. When you start giving for the right reasons and you see what God can do, I got to tell you one more. Several years ago, and this I don't know where the blessing came in my life for this one, all right? But Jody and I were at a Waffle House, greatest restaurant on the planet, all right? And we were in another state, and we went in and we got our hash brown smothered and covered. And, it's almost lunch. It's almost lunch. Hang on. Just hang on. And so I said to Jody, the little waitress just looked like she was having a hard day. And maybe we even heard her tell one of the other wait staff about something that was going on in her life. I don't remember the whole thing. And so we left her a fairly large tip. It wasn't $1 million, okay, but it was I don't know, 25, 50, something like that. And anytime I do that, I try to hide it and let's get out of here because I just want to give it and walk away. And this young lady, she runs out of Waffle House and she's waving this money and she said, "You forgot your money." And I said, no, that's your money. And she was like, no, this is your money. And I said, no, that's your money. And she is not registering at all. And of course, Jody's there with me. And I said, we just wanted to, we believe the Lord wanted us to give you that today. That 25 or 50, whatever it was, obviously meant something gigantic in her life. We give out of obedience. We give out of obedience. And when we do, God will bless us. I don't know when the blessing returned into my life, but it was enough. Jody and I sitting there holding hands in the car thinking, whoo, man, I don't think we could have spent that $25 on anything better than that. That made my day. Something's going on in this little girl's life that she is struggling. And for anybody to give her some hope meant something big. I know there are stories around this room just like that and bigger stories than that one. But when we give, we're saying the kingdom is important to me. I value the stuff that God values. I believe in God's plan. I believe in God's plan. The first step in this journey is to say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I don't want to do this myself. I don't want to do this on my own. I want to just start my journey with you. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, I want to tell you how A, B, C this morning to start this journey. A, you got to admit that you've sinned. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. You got to believe. You got to believe on Him. You got to confess Him as your Lord. It's that simple. Pray that prayer in your own words. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I know who you are. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want to surrender my life. I'm ready to take that next step toward you. Just want to walk with you, Lord. And He will meet you. The Bible says He's standing at the door knocking, waiting to come in. He will never barge in. He will never barge in. But He's tapping on the door saying, whenever you open, I'm coming in. So are you hearing the knocking this morning? If you are you sensing the knocking? If you are, open the door and let Him in this morning. I believe He's going to bless your life. Here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, we're going to pray. And I want you to just think. Just sort of homework. You get to develop your own homework this week. How will I be a giver this coming week? How will I be a giver? How will I be generous this coming week? How am I going to do that? It's going to look different for every one of us. There might be a neighbor where you say, I know they're struggling. I'm going to help them out. It might be that you've never tithed and you say, I'm stepping out this week and I'm going to start my journey to being a disciple by just being obedient to God. Where are you going to give? How are you going to give? Maybe it's you're going to pick up a case of Diet Cokes and just leave them in the break room for whosoever will. Just give. I believe you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. It doesn't have to be big. I can't write a $1 million check. I'm thankful for people who can. I can't yet. I don't know how it's going to happen. But one day, I'm hoping. All right? I don't have a plan, but I'm hoping. All right? But here's the deal. Can God trust me with the paycheck I have now? If he can't trust me with the paycheck I have now, he might not give me a bigger paycheck. So he's got to trust me right here and right now. Amen? I want you to stand up with me, everybody. A disciple is generous. That's number 9. A disciple is generous. Lord, just before we go, we want to ask you to help us. Lord, there are people in this room that are just, they just have the gift of giving. It's just in them. You just place that gift in them, and it just is so easy to operate. There are other people in this room, Lord, that it's not as easy. As a matter of fact, it's a struggle. Just the trust issues that you're going to take care of them after they give. It's there, and they don't know why they feel this way. They don't want to feel this way, but Lord, I prayed it. This week, starting this week, Lord, that you'd start to work on our hearts, soften our hearts. Lord, just soften our hearts and help us to just love your plan and the thing that you're doing and just be obedient and just start walking our discipleship journey out as a generous believer who is becoming a disciple. God, we trust you and we thank you right now for all you've done and all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give